classify, what do you classify Janet Jackson as?
I mean, a pop, but she did, like, this is a rock song, yeah. Clearly.
Right.
Mostly R&B, I would say.
It wasn't indicative of what she normally did. Man, this rocks.
Yeah.
It's like on my playlist for some of the, when I do the prep for the show, and every once in a while I come like, yeah.
She's a pop artist that I think, enjoyed playing around in a lot of different genres. You can say the same thing for Michael Jackson. You know, he did the same thing.
I love Scream with the two of them. Yeah. It was fantastic. Welcome to TCNT.
That's a great song. I've not heard that song in forever. Good call, John, on picking the intro music.
TCNT Movie Talk here on Twin Cities News Talk. I am John Justice, along with Drew Lee. We also have comedian Brian Miller. Brianne is running the board, and I'm hosting because Sam is still out for this week. So, let's dive into it.
Let's go.
Big weekend for movies, or movie, as we should say. In theaters, we'll start from lowest to biggest. Samson, Early Man.
And which then, I hear is great.
What doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. And then Black Panther. That's the big one. This is supposed to be the big... They're saying it has the potential to be the biggest Marvel movie. Early tracking shows that it's doing really well. Kind of close to what they expected. But an incredible, they're also saying a very incredibly important movie, Black Panther, being the almost entire cast, being made up of African-Americans, and a black superhero to appeal to that community that people say has not had a superhero they could grab onto. This is supposed to be the one.
Wesley Snipes is like, guys?
Yeah, right?
I was just gonna say.
You know what's interesting? I was thinking about this. It is the first... It's the first blockbuster black superhero, for sure.
There you go.
Yes.
Because I was thinking about this, so we had Wesley Snipes' Blade. Because the horror element of that, the superhero part, kind of gets lost a little bit. Even though I believe initially Wesley Snipes was looking at making Black Panther, and they couldn't get that done, so he did Blade instead.
Okay.
He wanted to do a superhero movie. And remember Robert Townsend's Meteor Man?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. Right? That was a reasonably popular movie.
Catwoman was bad.
Yep.
But...
And then on TV, you had Mantis. You remember Mantis?
I do remember Mantis.
I mean, these are all... Understandably, none of these are on the scale of Black Panther. So
correct me if I'm wrong. Spawn.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. Spawn was technically a black guy, but he had formerly been a black guy. Now he was a guy who was basically like incinerated. And he was like, so he was like a skeleton ghost. So
okay.
If I was a black guy, I'd be like, I ain't counting that. I would nigga.
So
that's a great point.
Let me go around the room. Let me ask it this way. Because I've listened to some other podcasts talk about this movie, and they got into fights over the importance of the movie versus the Wesley Snipes. Is this movie really making a big leap? Or is it simply because it is a blockbuster on par with other Marvel movies?
Well, the more attention and hype a movie gets, the more criticism it is going to find itself falling under.
Right.
So had the anticipation for this not reached such a fever pitch, then no, I don't think the backlash, if you even want to call it that, would be what it is. It'd be much more muted. And you also wouldn't have everybody talking about, this movie's so important. No. And it's fine. It is. I'm not going to diminish that for anybody. It's, that's fine. But of course, every time a movie sort of reaches that point and starts having these sort of accolades and hype thrown at it, there's going to be a segment of the population, any population, that is just going to sort of react and be like, well, it's not as big a deal as you're making it out to be.
Yeah.
They do with every Star Wars movie.
Yeah. There's always that contrarian urge to some people or that something rubs them the wrong way about the marketing or whatever. I will say all of my black friends are super excited about this movie.
I'm super excited about this movie.
I definitely kind of take their point in that it is strange that we've hit 2018, we've made a zillion superhero movies,
right.
And we haven't made one superhero movie where it was just a black superhero, and that was the main character.
And I wish people wouldn't react so negatively to it. I don't understand why people would let that bother them. Why do you choose to let that be something that bothers you in your life?
It's an insane thing to be bothered about.
It's like with the Ghostbusters remake.
Yeah.
You can be annoyed that they remade Ghostbusters just on the merits of that movie never needed to be remade.
Right.
But the fact that they put all women in it shouldn't bother anybody. Who cares?
No. Yeah, I don't think the backlash was too great on this one. The only thing that I heard, there were some, and this was coming from a lot of guys that were comic book dudes, who, when people were focusing on how important the movie was, they were very quick to point out, it's like, well, before we start saying that this movie has completely broken new ground, let's acknowledge a path that was laid out leading up to this. And that's been the biggest. I haven't seen a huge backlash or anything that's been really, really negative, but it's been more of sort of on a, especially from comic book people going, hey, you know what? Let's make sure that we do acknowledge that there was this Wesley Snipes movie. There was the other characters there. Mm-hmm. This is the first sort of mainstream blockbuster to feature a cast like this. And obviously, because of the hype around it, this segment of the population is really, really excited. And I think Hollywood's going to see that part of society step up in droves and speak with their money. And so in this case, it is going to blaze a new trail moving forward, I think, when it comes to these types of films.
I hope so.
And it's also worth noting that Ryan Coogler, the director, is a fantastic director. His first movie was Fruitvale Station with Michael B. Jordan. It was a really, really good, subtle political movie. His second movie was Creed, one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years.
Movie.
My second favorite Rocky movie, and I like the Rocky movies a lot. That Creed is a truly great inspirational movie.
I love Creed.
And so I'm like, man, you put the same guy, now you get him a big budget and a superhero movie. I expect nothing but good things from Ryan Coogler.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard he was doing it, I was like, this is going to be good.
You made a good point when we were talking about this. We were during a break during the show, you know, and when they're talking about box office projections and how, and John, you mentioned that it's projected to be around par, maybe a little more than Civil War.
Right.
And you made a great point. I mean, when you compare Black Panther, the character, not a big character, probably I would put Black Panther, the character, on par with where Iron Man was before the Iron Man movie came out.
I, as a comic book nerd, not to be that guy, I would argue he's actually, Black Panther was kind of a third tier character. Okay. Iron Man would have been like a B character who was like on the Avengers, so he had a little more pull.
Right.
Black Panther was a fairly obscure character who had fallen out of favor and hadn't had his own book for a while. He briefly had one written by a guy named Reggie Hudlin, who's one of the main black writers who wrote Static Shock, which became a very popular cartoon. Mm-hmm. Another, speaking of black superheroes that had a little bit of media airtime, that was a popular cartoon. And then, but Ta-Nehisi Coates, the really great black political writer, started writing Black Panther comics, I think a couple of 3 years ago, and I think they used some of his ideas, as best I can tell, in this movie. But up until Ta-Nehisi Coates started writing the character, it was really obscure.
Yeah, but
to have this obscure character like making as much money as Iron Man and Captain America and Spider-Man and the Hulk,
right. That's
bonkers. That's really impressive.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Marvel's got to be thrilled by that when DC can't make money off a Superman movie and they're making huge bank off Black Panther.
Brand, are you going to go see Black Panther? Do you have your tickets yet?
Why'd you drag me into this?
Because I needed to ask you.
I thought I could get away. You know, I wasn't at first. It kind of... God, this makes me sound like such a piece of garbage. It left kind of a bad taste in my mouth because of how, not necessarily how it was being marketed or anything like that, but maybe other people's reactions to it. Now, I kind of am curious.
Right.
And I would like to form my own opinion without assessing what the movie's about just by what stupid people say on Twitter or something like that.
Two quick points to what you were saying. Civil War... great movie. The funny thing about Civil War to me, though, was like going into it, it's like nobody really thought it was going to be an actual Civil War. I mean, and that's the part with that main fight in that movie was when Hawkeye and
Black Widow.
And Black Widow. Like, we're still going to be friends after this, right? It's like, yeah, everybody knows you're still going to be friends after this. It wasn't, you know. But side note, Coogler, Creed, breakout star, Tessa Thompson.
Oh, she's
amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah. She's great in Thor.
Thor Ragnarok. She owns that movie.
Loved her in that movie.
She has quickly vaulted to the top of my, well, I'll see whatever she's in for now.
Yeah.
I have no reason to doubt anything she's doing.
Real quick note on Early Man. It's the Wallace and Gromit guys.
Yeah, and I've heard, it kind of slipped through my radar because the title's sort of vague, but I saw a poster for it, and I instantly went, ooh, that's the Wallace and Gromit guys. I bet this is going to be good.
I've never seen a Wallace and Gromit thing, but they've all been incredibly
funny.
Yeah.
They are funny.
Charming, but like genuinely funnier than you would think because they're very kind of sweet and slow, but not in a way that's annoying. You would like it.
Very British.
I'll have to look into that.
Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Watch that.
I do like me some British humor. I watched... what did I watch this week? At World's End.
I love the Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Totally underrated movie.
Right?
That movie, you know, there's that scene in Baby Driver where he's walking down the street and the lyrics are written behind him?
Yeah.
The entire movie, The World's End, the whole plot of the movie is constantly given to you over and over again in like background signs, the names of the pubs. Like when you go back and rewatch it, there's so many little details layered. It's so good.
It's a fun movie.
That movie is required drinking for me. when I watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's about them going bar to bar, but the soundtrack in that is the soundtrack of The Dark Years.
Oh, sure.
So to be into a bottle of wine and watch it World's End with that soundtrack. It's like, last time we watched it with Melinda.
See, I watched it when I was going to bed. I need to crack open some pints and watch it.
There were moments where I was brought to tears during the film, and I had been drinking wine, and Melinda's looking at me like, why are you crying? Oh, the music is so good. The music is so great. These bands from Manchester, and I went there once. It's okay. She's just, and it's sad. She was ashamed. Oh, very sad.
I think that movie is underrated. It's secretly way better than Hot Fuzz, which people like better.
Yes.
I agree.
Way better than Hot Fuzz.
It's a better film.
I would say a lot better, but yes, it's definitely better.
I'm not saying Hot Fuzz is bad, but I think World's End is straight up better than Hot Fuzz.
When you say a lot better, it sort of implies that Hot Fuzz
is bad. That's the Cornello.
Yeah, that's the second part of the trilogy.
The trilogy, right? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, those are fun movies.
Yeah. All right. DVD and Blu-ray releases this week. The Star.
Right? Just one?
That was the kids movie, the cartoon. I only remember it because Sam was the only one that was like, I want to see that movie.
Yeah. That was a Sam movie.
That
horse and Jesus.
I'm gonna take DVD. Isn't that a song? I went to a river for the horse. No, I didn't. Savior with no name. I'm gonna basically take DVD and Blu-ray releases. We'll move The Star aside, and then I'm gonna hand it off to Drew because the other two releases this week are Daddy's Home 2 and The Florida Project.
Well, which I've seen both.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've seen both. The Daddy's Home 2, terrible, awful. Daddy's Home was fine. You know, the first one was a fine little Will Ferrell comedy with Mark Wahlberg. It's exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah.
It's not gonna blow anybody away. Daddy's Home 2. Terrible. Just terrible. It's a Christmas movie, and they use the terrible Live Aid, not terrible song, but, you know, the depressing.
That's so weird.
You know it's Christmas time. That's the uplifting scene at the end of the movie. The only redeemable part of Daddy's Home 2 is John Lithgow. John Lithgow is wonderful.
He's always funny.
He's wonderful. He's always wonderful.
How was Mel Gibson John Lithgow in it?
He fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Seemingly uncomfortable the entire time.
Yeah.
Was everyone else seemingly outburst. Uncomfortable with Mel Gibson
Pretty
the entire
much,
time?
Yeah. Nobody's standing too close to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only redeeming part of that movie is John Lithgow and the moments of Will Ferrell and John Lithgow. Only thing worth watching. Florida Project got very good reviews. It was very well received. So
what is it about?
Well, it got my curiosity because it takes place on International Drive in Orlando. International Drive is the very gaudy, tacky, touristy part of Orlando. You'd think the theme parks. No, it's like all the gift shops and cheap restaurants and things like that. It's the real tourist trappy area of Orlando. It's set there, and it's these families, these children who live there. They live in motels, and they work at, you know, all these businesses that cater to these tourists. The moms do. It's a single mom with these kids. It focuses on the kids. And John Malkovich plays.
William Dafoe.
I'm sorry. Yeah, William Dafoe. Yeah. William Dafoe plays the hotel manager. He's fantastic in this movie. It's a compelling movie. I mean, it sucks you in and you watch it, but it's very seedy. And it's very uncomfortable, and you just sort of feel really bad for these kids. It's the type of movie, glad I watched it, enjoyed it. I'll never watch it again, though. Mm.
I heard some people describe it as poverty porn. Did you think it fell into that, or did you think it was an honest depiction of how some people live?
I would lean more towards poverty porn.
Okay, because I've got it at the top of my Netflix queue. It's one of the movies that I felt like I missed this year that I am just curious to see.
Yeah.
But I can't tell if I'm going to like it or not.
You'll like it. It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it earned the praise that it got.
You think it's good but not great, would you say?
Yeah, it wasn't great. And it just it's one of those movies. I need protagonists in my movies.
Sure.
I need some things or people to root for. And when you have those movies that really just don't have any of that, they're just sort of these awful situations that you're kind of peering in on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I can't really enjoy those and I won't rewatch them.
Yeah, I'm totally not going to watch that.
Well, Moonlight was also about a guy in Florida, kind of in these, I think it was pretty sure it was set in Florida, certainly in like these like kind of project stuff. But I really liked Moonlight, but it definitely had a clear protagonist. And by the end of the movie, you're like, oh, this had an arc. This had a trajectory.
Yeah.
It wasn't just slice of life, even though there was that element.
Yeah. Florida Project starts like at the ground floor and it just ends like 5 degrees lower.
Do you leave feeling bad?
Yeah.
Kinda. I was hoping it'd have a little uplift.
Maybe you need to watch The Star afterwards to make you feel
Maybe that's the way to go.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but the ending scene was very confusing to me.
Okay.
Because
now I'm really curious.
How can I put this without
Sounds like you're describing Mother.
It's not like it's a...
It sounds like you're describing...
There's an anticipation that builds up as the movie is climaxing towards the end that doesn't pay off in the way that you think it's going to.
Sure.
So it was very disconcerting. It was very odd.
Oh, yeah. Independence Day Resurgence did that to me.
Independence Day Regurgitation, as I like to think of it.
Hey, can I throw a curveball into the show real quick? I know you haven't prepped for this.
We still have 10 and 20 years to go.
I found some. Okay, let's do that first.
Okay. Movies out 10 years ago. We have Definitely Maybe, and that was Isla Fisher
Ryan Reynolds.
And Ryan Reynolds.
That's a cute movie.
Yeah. Spiderwick Chronicles. Mm. Yeah, and then Jumper.
Oh, yeah.
And now, look, I like Jumper.
Jumper's the time one with Hayden
Christensen.
Yeah, I actually...
It's place, right? He can teleport.
Yeah, the world building in that was really cool, I thought. I liked what they did with it. It's short, and I'm not really big on short movies for the most part. Hmm. But Jumper being short, I thought it was a solid, fun movie. It was done by the...
Doug Liman, I believe.
Yeah, it was a Doug Liman movie. And so Live, Die, Repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Swingers.
A lot of range.
Yeah. Was Doug Liman...
The first Bourne movie, too. Bourne Identity.
Was Doug Liman Go?
Yep. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yes. And yes. Yeah, I love those movies. Go is fantastic. Go is a good go-to. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith, top of my list. But I enjoyed Jumper. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I didn't.
Yeah. It wasn't terrible.
No, it was. It was fine. It was fine. It was fine. Like Friday night.
It's got your girl in it.
Rachel Bilson.
Yes.
Yeah.
I adore her.
She's fine.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Is the that was a time when the superhero movies started to boom. That people were like, oh, well, we'll invent our own superheroes, right? And people will go to see it. And I think it took people a while to realize how much like the intellectual property element of the superheroes and like they kind of need the capes and the stuff. Because Jumper was very much like a superhero movie, but with just like street clothes and
that's a good point.
Definitely maybe underrated little romantic comedy.
Yeah, you know it is good.
It's a nice movie.
I've spent a lot of time on the show hating on romantic comedies, and I'm going to agree with you 100%.
Yeah, it's enjoyable,
fun little movie.
Yeah. Cute, the whole cute daughter, Ryan Reynolds, they're funny together, and they have the flashbacks. It's kind of weird, but I thought it worked.
Yeah.
Side note on that, just real quick, and then we'll do
Oasis song.
We'll do 20, and that's right. We'll do 20 years, and then get to what you had, Drew. But the other one that I watched recently, romantic comedy, and I guess you can classify it as that, was the Sleeping with Other People with Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie. And I watched that. I'm glad the kids weren't around, but it's a little intense in that regard. But I actually thought it was pretty funny. The highs in that movie were really, really high.
Yeah, it was fine.
The funny notes were really funny. Sudeikis was fantastic.
I'm becoming a pretty big Jason Sudeikis fan. I think he's set for movies. Like, he started on Saturday Night Live, and he was never really a central character on Saturday Night Live. He was always kind of a bit player. He's a movie guy. He's a movie star. He needs to be in movies.
Yeah. I can't decide if he's a handsome lead or if he's just a comedic element yet.
I think he can do both.
You think so?
He's a little smug for my taste.
He's a little, yeah. But he's okay smug in this. I like him in this.
Yeah. Well, I like Alison Brie.
Yeah, I do like his smell.
He's likably smug. Charmingly smug, I guess.
All right, 20 years ago, we had The Borrowers, and we also had Sphere. Sphere was one of those ones where I had high hopes. I was like, this looks really good. And was it Michael Crichton?
Yeah, Michael Crichton.
Yeah, a
pretty good Michael Crichton book, too.
And this is post Jurassic Park.
Yeah, this was in the post Jurassic Park rush when they made Sphere and they made the monkey movie.
Oh, yeah. Monkey Shines. No.
It's Congo.
Congo. Oh, gosh.
Famously terrible.
Yeah. Congo was bad.
Yeah. I've not seen Sphere.
But Sphere was awful.
You know, There's a pattern of really good Michael Crichton books turned into really crappy movies.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some good adaptations.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
Westworld, which he did himself, wasn't a book, but he did it himself. But yeah, Sphere was pitched as like prestige, like almost Kubrickian sci-fi, right? Like, you're going to get some high-minded stuff. Sharon Stone was a huge deal. Sam Jackson was a huge deal. Dustin Hoffman wasn't a creep yet.
Yeah.
And just doesn't come together. It's really boring.
No, really bad. Not good at all.
Super boring.
And what was Borrowers? Anybody remember Borrowers?
No.
No.
Also, Sphere suffered from a syndrome I like to call not the abyss.
Brianne, do you have Borrowers?
The abyss is really good.
Yeah, the abyss is great.
Something I try and forget from my childhood.
The Borrowers?
Yeah.
What is it about?
It's about these little, it's a book, I think, and it's about little people that live in the walls of your house.
Oh,
and
yeah,
take
okay.
Stuff.
No, yeah, yeah, oh. Yeah. Yeah, no,
that's
I remember it.
Kind of frightening.
Yeah. Very over the top. Kids whimsical kind of thing, and it just, I don't like it. I don't like it.
We've talked The Abyss before. My brother worked on it. I won't go into
that's so cool.
Yeah. But still not out on Blu-ray.
And it's insane.
It's a travesty.
That movie begs to be seen.
And they've got it transferred to 4K, apparently. He says, for whatever reason, Cameron's a jerk and is sitting on it, and I don't know why. I put it out on Blu-ray because my DVD copy does not upscale well.
Well, maybe it'll come out after Avatar 7.
The, we've got a few minutes left. The Razzie nominations are out.
Ooh.
Oh,
fascinating.
Otherwise known as John's Blu-ray cabinet.
That is not. We'll find out. Okay, all right, fine. Let's play this. Let's play this game, Mr. Jokey Joke Man.
You've got at least two of these. At least two.
All right.
There's five worst pictures.
Okay.
All right. The Emoji Movie.
No.
Totally.
Kyle did just watch it recently, but I have not seen it, and I do not own it. Netflix.
Wouldn't have expected you to.
Good Razzie nom.
Netflix, yeah.
Transformers Last Night.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah. Unfortunately.
That's also a fair Razzie.
That's really bad. That's really bad.
50 Shades Darker.
Nope.
50 Shades. Oh, right. Because 50 Shades Freed just came out, so this was from the last one.
Yeah.
I saw that one. It was pretty terrible.
The Mummy.
I don't own. Do not own that.
Oh.
Good for you. No. Good for you, Jack.
No. No.
Ah, wow.
Good
for you.
This is my favorite. That's why I was John Lovitz and Seinfeld. You know, good for you, Jack. My wife says that to me all the time, and I'm always like, this feels what I like when you call me that. The Mummy. I hated it so much, and it's not that it's that bad of a movie. It's that it's a bad Mummy movie.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not the Mummy.
I hold the originals in,
yeah,
in very high
and the
regard.
Brendan Fraser
Yeah, the
one
Brendan
is
Fraser
so
ones
good.
Were good. I enjoyed it in the theater. I watched it again with Melinda and was like, nope, I didn't.
You don't own it.
I'm so happy for you that you don't own that.
I'm all grown up.
And the final Razzie nomination. So you've got Emoji Movie, Transformers Last Night, 50 Shades Darker, The Mummy, and Baywatch.
I thought that movie was unspeakably terrible. I can't believe how bad it was when it could have been a funny movie.
Brianne, have you seen any of those?
Nope. No. Take a pass on all those.
You haven't seen any of them. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. Baywatch should have been way better from what I deducted.
Yeah. How do you screw up? First of all, the concept of spoofing, gently spoofing the Baywatch TV show, put The Rock in it, put Zac Efron in it, put Alexandria Daddario in it. How do you screw that up?
Here's how you fix Baywatch. This is how you, kind of, okay? You go in with it, as I did when I watched it with Melinda, on an afternoon, right, with nothing but zero expectations, and then you pull what little joy you can from it. And we walked away from it going, that did not strip away an hour and a half of my life. I enjoyed the moment of laughing with my wife at a few key moments. You know, it's got The Rock in it. I think Zac Efron does comedy really well.
Yeah.
It is a horrible movie, but it does have enough to where I watched it, didn't have to pay for watching it. Thank you very much. We did enjoy it, but I would never own it or watch it again.
It was just so baffling that they spent so much time on, like, this flimsy actual plot, like the mystery part of it. They spent an inordinate amount of time on, and all the time they spent with that geek character. You know, the whole him getting his junk stuck in the lawn chair
was
one of the least funny things I've ever seen, and it went on forever.
We're going to have a conversation maybe next week on Movie Talk where we talk about The Rock and him, like, with the skyscraper, you know, Sky Hard?
Sky Hard.
This is Sky Hard.
Hard, as I like to think of it.
And whether or not we're going to see this rash of The Rock, like, fulfilling old popular movies and trying to revamp them again. And I think we're getting close.
You'll be pleased to know that Mother did get a couple of Razzie nominations. Good. The Worst Actress for Jennifer Lawrence.
She was actually really good in that movie, honestly.
Worst Director.
Yeah, Worst Director deserved. She was fine. Like, what are you going to do? It's a bad movie, right?
Yeah, right.
That is TCNT Movie Talk for this week. Thank you so much for checking it out. Brian Miller, thank you very much.
Yes,
Brianne, good job producing. Drew, as always, he did all right.
Fun.
Let's go see Black Panther.
Yeah. Next week, reviews.
Yeah, I'll see you tonight.